Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And it is, of course, that time of the Thursday, though it started slightly different today and we're starting slightly later than usual. But hey, this week we've made sure that we come on board. And when I say we, of course, you know, I'm talking about myself and Dr. J on this beautiful Thursday. Dr. Julius Manga Tumbu, I'm going to give all your surnames, which sounds strange because I never do. How are you doing today?
Look, doing good, Loco, you know, definitely. We miss a studio. It's always good to be around the studio because you avert the technology glitches and challenges. But when you're quite a distance from studio, you still have to cope
exactly.
with the mechanism of internet,
yeah.
of Zoom, of WhatsApp. But I think I really want to commend Radio Pulpit for the great effort you're making to link us up still to the listeners wherever we are,
yeah.
you know, on planet Earth.
Wherever you are on planet Earth, I love that. And it just proves how international we get.
Yeah, definitely. You know, initially, when I am in studio, I usually tell you of a couple of family members following us from different parts of the world.
Yeah.
And I think my being in Kenya, Nairobi, has just been another angle for us to do a recording. And this gets me think that definitely we can run one from the U.S., from Paris, from Sydney, Australia.
From wherever in the world.
From wherever in the world, but still quite ambitious for us to do that. But we always happy getting back to the studio and just getting the best of all qualities. So I really want to thank you coping with me in this season.
I must say, when you get back, it's going to be a huge reunion because you and I have not seen each other physically in probably a month now, close to a month, let me say.
Yeah. I think it's been hectic on my side, and I think that's why I really want to commend that on the road we still can make some calls and also have some input. I had a team from the U.S. that came in for the vacation Bible school, and
yeah.
I had intervention from two of the pastors. I really want to appreciate Radio Pulpit allowing them to come in and be able to share their hearts also. But again, I think very important around this season as well has been the trip I took out here in Kenya with the Ignite Global Leaders Conference. And we have as intention to reach out to marketplace leaders. I told you already,
yeah.
you're in the space of a journalist, and we're reaching out to all Christian professionals. So for the first time, I think, in Africa, we had a gathering of more than 339 leaders from all countries, you know, most of those countries, 40 countries, over 40 countries in the world. And we had very key and strategic people who intervened at the conference. One of the keynote intervening speakers was the president of the Court of Appeal in Kenya, who is a Christian.
Oh,
and
wow.
we also had the anti-corruption director or country coordinator also, who is a reverend doctor. And also intervene for our devotion. So I think that's what we've been trusting God and putting in place, that Christians, even in South Africa, will have that great mobilization professionally, because, you know, local, the professional space is most neglected sometimes. And we don't have a methodology on how to reach out to business people and those in the professional space, like lawyers, doctors, accountants, and journalists like you. You know, we definitely have to start formulating groups of affinity where we definitely can reach out to them. I've been part of the South African Christian Lawyers Association for some years, and we've been able to offer some pro bono services. The intention is to mobilize Christians so that we can use our talents, time, and also treasures. You see those three T's always come up.
Of course.
Our time, treasure, and talents. We put them at the service of humanity for kingdom's sake and for the glory of God. But we also have an acronym. I think I've shared that with you. I'm part of the board of directors, Campus Crusade, and we are the ones facilitating the Ignite Global. And we invite marketplace leaders like yourself and many others, medical doctors and lawyers in the professional sector who are Christians, to give their life. And life for us is L, leadership, and I, influence, F, your finances, and E, your expertise.
Wow.
We're not out just for the money, because many people think that your partnership is all about money. I don't think so. I think the redefinition is that you definitely have to give yourself first to the Lord. So the most important is that you become born again. No compromise on that one. Then you definitely become an instrument for God, the advancement of God's kingdom. Then you lay your life, your life, which is your leadership, your influence, your finances, and your expertise for the advancement of the kingdom. So in a nutshell, that's what we've been doing. And we're mobilizing people in and out. Africa had the greatest attendance also in the meeting here in Nairobi, which has been of great significance and impact. Many going back to transform their communities, and most of us who came from South Africa. Our intention now is to make sure that we get into marketplace, identify Christians who are in the professional space, and engage them, invite them to join God. You know, we don't invite God into our programs. We instead join God into what God is doing in light of what Henry and Richard Blackaby say in their book, Experiencing God. You must always discern where God is at work, and you join God in what God is doing.
Amen.
Most of us want to invite God in what we're doing. No, that's wrong. You join God in what he's already doing. God is at work. Discern where he's working, and join him in what he's doing already in the lives of many people, communities, and especially nations. So that's my excitement. That's why today I'm heading on presenting a topic: when we pray as Christians. Mm. When we pray as Christians, local things start changing, communities start changing, and nations start having a transformation, healing. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and purpose to seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. So it's very crucial for us to realize that the transformation of nations, the transformation of cities, the transformation of families, and the transformation even of communities can only take place when we pray. A passage of consideration is Acts chapter 12 from verse 1 to 17. It's quite an elaborate passage, but permit me, as we always should do, at least get into scripture so that I don't talk from human intellect. We can at least read a portion of that passage. Then we'll be able to extrapolate some key elements which invites us to pray. My intention today, local, is I do commend individual personal prayer time, but there is power in collective corporate prayer time. I'm telling you, local, when you can imagine, you can imagine a rugby match at Loftus, and that stadium is packed full of people watching rugby. Just imagine that stadium being packed full of people praying for the nation. Praying for the nation of South Africa. You can imagine if we give ourselves 3 days, 7 days, 21 days, 30 days, and people just dedicate their time, and we have sort of a chain prayer 24/7. in that stadium, some people get tired. You give room for others who are coming in, and we definitely just have a chain of prayer warriors for 3 days, 7, 21, and 30 days praying for the nation of South Africa. Let me tell you, there will be great results. Great things will happen.
I know.
That gives us a little bit of an insight into the very passage that we're reading today, Acts chapter 12. It was about this time that Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. Verse 2 says, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. But, oh, I love this verse 5, local. If you want to take anything from Acts chapter 12, please take verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So what happened? Verse 6 says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to Peter, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloth around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." Okay, let me end there because the passage is quite long. I'll definitely invite you to read all through, I think, till verse 25 even. But just imagine the topic for those who love topics. I think the topic is when we
You're
pray.
speaking of Obabuchek right now.
Yeah, the topic is when we pray. Look, I've seen the power of prayer individually. I've seen people pray. God has moved tremendously when someone has cried out unto God. I've seen God at work. You have done that. I have done that. And many people following us now have done that. They've been in personal prayer. They've been in their personal closet. They've saw the face of God, and God has been faithful. God has intervened. But let me tell you, if you go through scripture, you'll see a greater dimension of divine intervention. It comes when the people of God pray. It comes when you join hands together with someone and you see God's face in prayer. In fact, it fulfills the very scripture of where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in their midst. Because definitely Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord. That's my definition of the local church. The local church is the very constitution of two or three people gathered in the name of the Lord. So we definitely are the bride of Christ. We are the mobile living churches. But the truth is that the local church, get my very definition, the local church starts in constitution when two or three people, the minimum two people,
Okay.
and we count from there, come together in the name of the Lord, because you definitely could come in with a social agenda. That's not a church. You could come in with a business plan. That's not the church. So the church has its originality and its intentionality when two Christians come together with a purpose of exalting Jesus Christ, with a purpose of seeking, worshiping Him, with a purpose of discussing kingdom agenda, and put at the very center not themselves, but Christ. That's my simple definition of the very embryonic stage of the church, where the local church starts. Why? Because when two people pray, the Bible says two cannot work together except they are in accord. They have to agree. And so there is a coming together with one accord. There is a coming together which highlights unity. There is a coming together which highlights purpose. There is a coming together. You know why? Local, I'm saying this because the church can also have its definition as local church, even from family. Okay, let me give this. Do you know that husband and wife coming together to pray already ignite a local church? So
Okay.
it's very crucial, please, husband, please, wife, to pray. In fact, most churches have started just with families. You know that. Churches have started just with families. When we started Hope Baptist Church in Sunnyside, we started just a small come together. I think the first couple we started, myself and my wife, we had a couple that came in, and we grew to about 30 people. We could not
Wow.
contain them, at home. And we started looking for a venue, and we eventually got the venue where we are now. But it
Wow.
started with two people coming together. And I want to tell you, where two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord,
There
their
he
God is
is.
in their midst. Please
Man.
don't neglect. And that's why I am, by this very communication, inviting each and every family to already appreciate the fact that you coming together, there is power when a husband and a wife hold hands together, include children, and begin to pray for the transformation of that family, for the transformation of that community, neighbors who are not saved to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and begin to pray for the nation. I'm telling you, there is tremendous power. Okay, let me give you maybe just one or two points, because we definitely will be running out of time. Let me give you 3 points which might help you understand what happens when Christians pray. Just like the case of Acts chapter 12, where James was killed, Peter was next, and God intervened. So when the church starts praying, Acts chapter 12, 5, three things happen. And like every good Baptist, I'll give you three key points which can help you see the hand of God. The first thing, when we start praying, when husband and wife start praying, when communities start praying, when nations, Christians start praying, the first thing which happens is God rescues. Write this down. God rescues. That's our first hour. God will rescue. God rescued Peter because the church prayed. I just would have thought, if the church did not pray local, what would have happened to Peter?
Sure.
The reality is that when the church goes sleeping, sin increases in the nation. When the church goes sleeping, slumbering, corruption increases in the nation. But when the church starts praying, corruption is exposed in the nation. Corruption is exposed in the nation. So what
Sure.
happens when the church starts praying? The first thing which happens is God gets into a rescue mission. So God rescues those who are perishing. God though rescues those who are perishing, especially spiritually. Look, the biggest rescue is not really being rescued from physical death, Loco. The biggest rescue is being rescued from spiritual separation from God eternally.
Sure.
And so when the church starts praying, I do agree that God rescues some people from accidents. Some of us fly a lot, and when we want to travel, we ask for journey mercy for people to pray. Let me tell you, God is faithful. Some of us might be sick, and we ask for divine intervention for healing. God rescues. When people are about going through a major operation, they are going through major medical crisis. Let me tell you, if you're following us, God is still on a rescue mission over your life, over your finances. But let me tell you, the greatest of any rescue is a rescue of souls from perishing. Is that when the church starts praying, all those who have been shortlisted for hell, their trajectory changes, and most, if not by the very grace of God, many come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So please, church, pray. When you pray, there is a rescue mission. Write this down. Number one, the God rescues. Number one, God rescues when we pray as a people. Number two, when we pray as a people, God removes barriers in our lives. God removes barriers in our lives. When the church prayed, God rescued Peter, sent angels, opened the doors, but God removes those barriers. There are many people who are going through challenges in their lives. There are many people who have barriers in their lives. The Bible says the doors open by themselves. And I'm talking to somebody who has been going through a difficult time. You've been praying personally and you've not seen results. Can I invite you to invite somebody to join you to pray, and you'll see the power of togetherness. You'll see
Amen.
the power of praying. I'm talking to a couple now, and permit me prescribe this. Take 3 days, husband and wife, hold hands together. It might be a fast, it might not be a fast, but I think I'm moved now just to tell you, spend 3 days to pray. Spend 3 days to pray over that matter, and God will remove that mountain. God will remove that issue. I don't know what you're going through as a family, but one thing I know is that when we pray, number one, God rescues. When we pray, number two, God removes barriers, difficult, impossible challenges that personal prayer cannot achieve. If corporate prayer will bring some results. Let me conclude, local. Number one, when we pray, God rescues. Number two, God removes barriers. But I love number three as I conclude, local. Number three, when we pray, God reveals his power and glory. That we find in Acts chapter 12, from verse 12 to 24. God reveals his power and glory. Because God rescues Peter. Peter comes to the gathering of Christians, and Christians are even surprised that, in fact, Peter is alive. Okay, that's good news, look. The good news is that sometimes our prayers even surprise us, answers to our prayers. And that's a good one, because it highlights not human intervention, but divine intervention, and gives God all the glory. Have you been in a place of prayer where people have prayed for you and God has intervened extraordinarily, supernaturally? That's what I'm talking about. When people start praying for you, God miraculously, supernaturally, abundantly intervene over your situation. And that's what happens. God intervened in the case of Peter, even Peter himself. Peter himself coming out, he realized that this was a miracle in the making. God was working out something miraculous for him. And when he got to the place where Christians were praying, even Christians were surprised. Okay, let me tell you, I'm Baptist, but I don't want to be prophetic, as some people will say. But let me tell you, the reality about it is that God always answers us exceedingly, abundantly, above all what we can think or imagine. And that's what happens even in this season in people's life. As you're trusting God, let me trust God with you. I think, local, we just joining our faith and praying for somebody now who is trusting God for divine intervention. Father, intervene in their lives exceedingly, abundantly, above their wildest dreams and imagination. I don't know what they've been trusting you for, but Father, reveal your power, reveal
Amen.
your glory, because there is no Herod that can stand. There is no Goliath that can stand. Father, you are greater than Goliaths. You are greater than Herods. You are greater than all those who think ill about us, because your plan for us are plans which are good and not for evil, to bring a hope and a future. And I'm praying, oh God, that as we pray, I join my faith with my sister local and pray for somebody
Yes,
online today,
Lord.
Father, as we pray, rescue, as we pray, remove barriers, but as we pray, reveal your power and your glory in the life of that sister, in the life of that brother. God bless you as we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. J. Thank you for your time. And one of the things I always say about you, your level of commitment is absolutely inspiring. From across the country, you always just make sure that Radio Pulpit is catered for. So I understood last week how you felt, because it's just not you to disappear. Thank you so much, and have a lovely day further.
Thank you. God bless you.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet, join this life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222. Or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.